Hello and welcome to 4Play All Day, the gaming podcast that's hosted by four passionate gamers. I'm Guy. Next to me we got...
Dylan.
I'm Goldie.
I'm Flash Gordon.
Hey, hello. How's everybody doing? Everyone alright?
Alright. Fantastic. Hating the cold weather.
Yeah.
Again.
So we've got coffee. I mean,
yeah. It's keeping
anything,
us going.
Coffee would warm see me for anything. Well,
yeah.
I know, yeah. It's absolutely bloody cold. So this week, we were going to review a couple of games. So I'm going to review Yakuza. Anybody else reviewing? You're reviewing, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Celeste, which I've been talking about in previous episodes.
Excellent. You got anything?
Yeah, a game I just recently got back into, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Excellent. What about you?
I played a little bit of Bombing Busters. And when I say a little bit, I mean a little bit.
Okay, it's going to be interesting.
But slightly more than rhyme. A little bit more than rhyme, but it was, yeah.
Oh, God.
It's all right.
Terrible.
So 10 minutes.
No, a little bit longer than that.
Most of that was it updating.
We've also got, hopefully, everyone's been trying to choose their top five all-time favourite characters.
Was it all-time?
Well,
I only did recent.
I'm just going to chat some out there. I could go for days.
Yeah, I found it really difficult.
That's what she said.
I'd written down so many names that I liked, and I'd kind of threw away some of the iconic ones.
Yeah,
and went for
more or less
a different approach, which we'll talk about later. So, what's everyone been playing this week, Goldie?
Well, I suppose I should go first because mine's quite short and sweet. I've been playing Hitman. Still,
yeah,
obviously.
Really?
We got that platinum yet?
No, still no platinum.
Still no platinum. No.
Haven't got the pixel platinum.
Got onto Idle's Spell that. Like, I need a platinum.
I've got two more trophies to unlock on Sapienza, and then I can move on to Marrakesh. And then we're done. And then I'm probably just gonna. I'm probably going to be stopping halfway through that because Far Cry will be here by then, and then I'm going to be banging some hours
tomorrow
into that.
That one with the four skins, right?
Yeah, I do have a little bit of an update on that as well. I didn't actually write down the name of it, but there's been an additional bit of another pack that's been announced. I can't remember the price of it. I think it's between 50 and 60 quid. But they're doing, as I mentioned previously, they do a soundtrack that's available on the CD, which everyone was
complaining about. Everyone was on a long journey.
Dying for that to come out. Well, they've done a vinyl version of it as well.
So nice.
If you're into your vinyl,
I'll put that in my car.
They're doing a vinyl, doing a vinyl version of it. If you're into your sort of collectibles, that's going to be an additional.
Or playing frisbee.
Yeah,
but, it didn't for the money. It didn't seem really worth it for me because Far Cry 3 download. I don't think there was any additional packs as such other than the stuff that you get when you pre-order it. Other than that, it was just like the vinyl version of the soundtrack, really. So it just depends if you're into your collectibles, really. Sag Gitter probably buy it, I expect, but
yours on pre-order.
Can't I get it like as a mini disc?
maybe that'll be another one that's announced.
You know, cassette, double cassette.
It sucks a bit. It's come out
a free buy
late
now.
Just over a week until it's released, and it's only just now been announced that they're doing that extra pack. So
Can I please just have the game?
Have we been pre-ordered now?
Not me.
I'm pre-ordered, yeah.
What's the one gone for? Have you guys got
for the gold one.
Same as me,
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I was getting it as a present, so I think they went for the cheapest
version.
Probably
got the vinyl version then.
Definitely.
Got digital download.
Digital download, yeah, man.
I love digital download. I'd have to switch the discs over. It's easy. Remote play. Oh, I love it, yeah.
I had a little go at Bombing Busters. Because I hadn't started that. I really wanted to play it just to see how it compared to Bomberman, which I hadn't really played since the Xbox 360 days. It is a bit of a rip of it, and the graphics are slightly better, but I just didn't enjoy it as much as Bomberman.
No,
it was all right. The sound effects I thought were really crap. The music was all right, but it was, it wasn't nowhere near as addictive as what Bomberman was. So I played it for about half hour, so I won a few games on it. But
I think it's an okay substitute for Bomberman while we're waiting for the new Super Bomberman R. I think that's already out on Switch.
It's probably
it's
probably more fun, I think.
That's the one we played,
If we'd done it as a multiplayer, it'd probably be a bit more enjoyable. When you're just playing against a computer, it's a bit predictable and boring, really, when you're just playing it.
Yeah. It's too easy, isn't it? That's the problem. Isn't it, Dylan?
I've played on the beta, mate. It's probably completely different, but I've really
pitch black the whole way through.
Off screen on that.
What have you been playing, Ash?
Apart from more Celeste, which I'll obviously talk about later on, I've been pretty much hammering that out. So apart from the odd bit of FIFA here and there, I'm kind of
doing any better.
I'm in love with it again now.
Oh, okay.
I've been winning like 8-0, 10-0. So,
turn the difficulty down then.
No. He's just not being a dick.
He's pressed start on the other controller.
You haven't been taking the disc out halfway through again?
No, not this time. No,
that's progress, mate. Progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. You know, it's about growth.
Yeah.
No. Some growth right under this table.
Over FIFA.
I've started on Fire Emblem Warriors, so... it's very similar to, you ever play Dynasty Warriors or Samurai Warriors? So yeah, Musou game, hack and slash, basically.
Yeah,
hordes of enemies on screen, basically just annihilate them and get to an objective.
What's that on?
That's on the Switch. So Koei Tecmo, if I pronounced that correctly, are the and Team Ninja are the producers or the developers behind Ninja Gaiden and the Dynasty Warriors games.
Yeah.
So with this one, what they've done, they did it on the Wii U. They took Zelda and they made a game called Hyrule Warriors, which was a Zelda-based game.
Yeah.
So you mix Zelda with Dynasty Warriors. Well, this time they've done it with Fire Emblem, which is another Nintendo franchise. So this time around, you just play for that. So. I'll probably do a review at some point with it, because I think it's probably one that's, because it came out around the same time as Mario Odyssey, it's probably a bit slept on, so people might not have picked that up.
Yeah, they might just missed it.
Mario at that point, and Skyrim was out around that time as well, but
yeah
I've probably put about 10 hours or so into that so far. So
okay, so about a day's worth.
So no, I've been enjoying that. For a game that's probably, you don't want to have to think too hard, you just want to kind of pick the pad up and just off you go. It's real simple in that sort of aspect. So
cool.
There's loads of replayability, because you can go back and do stages and find additional treasure, etc. Other than that, I've not really touched my PS4, I'm not going to lie. I've really been back on the Switch.
Must be getting some dust on it now.
Yeah, it pretty much is. It's not really getting much of my attention at the moment. It's straight back on the Switch. I brought another game called The Sexy Brutale.
That sounds good.
It's like a murder mystery game. So it's almost like playing Cluedo. It's almost like playing Cluedo in a way.
I wonder what happened.
The pause there was a guy putting his cup of coffee on top of the washing machine.
And then turned the washing machine off.
Complete
disregard.
Complete disregard for sound here, but no, it's fine. So it's a bit like a Cluedo game. So you follow people around in a mansion. People get killed. And you can spy, listen. For example, find clues. And you've basically got to work out who the murderers are. I haven't played a great deal of it at the moment.
Yeah, cool.
I picked it up, but it was a bit late at night, so... my brain wasn't really as engaged as it needed to be, so I'm sure I'll talk about that in sort of episodes going forward.
Have you been playing any more Hearthstone on your phone?
I haven't touched it.
Haven't you?
No.
Really? So there's a new deck coming out on that as well.
A new deck.
Can't wait for this new deck.
I love my dick. Is it a big dick?
Are you going to come see my dick when I get it?
Has it got a lot of girth? Is it a wide dick?
So much dick.
Oh, is it a long dick?
Dick, I said, mate. I can't even remember what it's called.
I knew it came out.
Witches or something.
I did the update.
The Witches or something.
I started playing a tavern brawl. I was cooking something. I played about two cards, and then I just basically conceded the match and went in 8, and I've not been back to since. I still can't defeat the first run. So you know you've got the dungeon runs. Still cannot do that first dungeon.
Is this the frozen one,
no,
or is this the normal one?
Normal one,
where you get to choose any hero you want.
That's it. Yeah, and then you've got 8 bosses.
I
think the most I've done is 6.
I finished that.
So difficult.
It was really hard.
On your cards that you pick, you got forward think about what you might face.
Yeah, you need to choose your treasures with your
treasure,
the rest of your deck, basically, and try and get it to go together. When I've done it with all the heroes, and then you unlock a special card back, which isn't really that good, to be honest. I just use one of the old ones. But it's fun doing it, and I keep playing the dungeon even now, and I haven't won a single game since I've done it with all the heroes. So I just can't win, but I just find it fun. I've got to go through the ice dungeon, and I've done that with one of the heroes, and then it this sword basically unlocks from this ice, and it lights up one symbol, and then you've got to see that you've got another 8 symbols you need to light up. So you have to play it through with every single hero and trying to do it. So I tried it with the mage, and on the first turn of the enemy's turn, he reduces your life straight to 1 on his first turn. You're like, oh great. So then you have to have a lot of spells that freeze minions, or there's one that every time he attacks a hero, he can adapt. So you want to try and get it Wind Fury first so you can attack him again, then build up his health or put a shield around him or something, can't get targeted by spells or hero powers. Yeah, spells or hero powers. So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really fucking hard though, and I've only won with one hero so far.
Do you watch people? Do you ever watch Twitch?
I watch something Twitch.
Oh, right. Yeah, hey, it's
my eye. Spazzy eye going on right now.
Yeah, no, on Twitch, usually when I'm like just at late at night, or if I can't bother to game, but I want to game, but I'm just too tired to game, I'll just watch Twitch. And Hearthstone's a pretty big thing on Twitch. You get people watch.
Yeah,
people play Hearthstone. They're people pretty good.
And like Overwatch as well. I watched an Overwatch one of the league matches.
Yeah,
and that was
it's like an e-sport Twitch, now, isn't it? It's pretty big. It's like an e-sport now.
Yeah,
so.
It's huge. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's great seeing all these like young Asian kids coming down and the crowd going crazy just for certain ones. So like they start shouting their names out, which I can't remember one of their names, but they start mentioning their names and the picture comes up on a big screen and you hear like, yeah. And then there's like this other one that sort of looks more feminine, but it's like Japanese
Final
lad.
Fantasy character.
Yeah, you just imagine him in an anime or something, and all the girls just go crazy for him, and then he's just like smiling, and his head's going like left and right. it's like
a wrestling entrance.
It is. It's brilliant. I was like, oh man, I'd love to be out there and play that game. I want to play.
It's really cool. There's quite a few that are quite popular. I think obviously FIFA is one that's always got tournaments on if you watch people on Twitch. Madden, most of the sports games. Street Fighter V was one I just randomly just started to watch.
Cool.
You just watch people play it?
Yeah.
And they
so generally you can
well,
watch, like. Yeah, generally you can watch people play it. So they've got an image of themselves sitting in their gaming chair and they'll be playing the game, and then you can message them directly. So they might read out your message or, you know, talk to you whilst they're playing the game, or you can tell them stuff. So if they've missed something or you can give them like a hint. You can be like, oh, well, you know, you could do this. We could just totally stitch them up as well, I guess, if you wanted. So,
nice.
But no, I usually just watch the ones with the boobies. I'm not going to lie. I don't follow anybody on Twitch who doesn't have boobies.
That's a good selling point.
This is a good
point,
way to go to sleep.
Yeah,
games with boobies. I'm like, oh my god. I sound like the
just feed me chicken.
I sound like the merchant of Resident Evil. Like,
why did you shot him again?
What are you buying? What are you selling?
Right, let's move on to Dylan. What have you been?
Have you got Twitch?
Oh shit!
This week I've been playing The Division again.
Sweet,
yeah. My mate was actually online with me.
I was just going to ask.
Playing on a team, yeah. It was good. We got some other people join us as well, so we went in like group of four, kicked some ass. It was pretty good. I died a lot.
Yeah,
but it's one of those games you just die and then you're around the corner and you have to run back to. Back to the game again.
Respawn.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and got some good weapons and stuff on that now.
That's cool.
Really enjoying it.
Do you lose anything when you die?
No, just a bit of pride.
Oh. I have none. That's fine. It's all gone. I can't lose shit.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm constantly just reviving my mate, like always. I've got a trophy because I've revived him like 50 times or something. And he still hasn't got it yet.
I'm hearing a lot of good things now, actually, about The Division. So when it first came out, it did get slated quite a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just got turned off of it. Straight away.
Yeah.
And recently, you and another mate of mine, Reese from the PS4 over Facebook.
Oh,
single week. He's been playing it.
I think I might comment on
it. He's really getting into it, and he keeps saying about buying it.
Yeah.
We should
all get it. It's 10 quid, do it.
That's a lot of money.
Not until we start getting
a lot of money. I could buy Mr. Massage for $3.99.
It's like, you know, 70 hour plus game for a tenner.
No, it is something that I'm considering, but
maybe
once I've finished some other games.
That's very nice.
So probably won't happen.
No. Well, also played Star Wars Lego game as well, the latest one.
Oh, cool.
Is it Force Awakens?
It is Force Awakens.
I've only literally played it for about 20 minutes on the Vita.
Oh.
But it seemed pretty good, so I might get into that and maybe complete that by next week or something. And also,
did you go back to any of the what's that game, Claire? Did you try that on the PS4?
No, it's still on the Vita. I haven't deleted or anything, but I might download it on the PlayStation still.
Yeah,
but with Far Cry 5 coming out, everything revolves around that.
Yeah,
I've got to try and get like about 5 games completed before that comes out.
That Claire, was that the one that was in the dark?
The game got couldn't even see what I was doing, and I got killed by squidgy stuff that was just made noise. And
Was you going to re-download it on a PS4? Did you say
possibly? Yeah, I think that might be a
help. You can see something, I suppose.
More of like a October kind of game when I've completed everything I've got.
Yeah.
And also been playing Horizon as well, but I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. So what have you been playing, Brad?
Thanks for asking.
Oh, so I've been playing Overwatch again, trying to do a bit more in the competitive side of things, and won some, lost some. I'm just enjoying the game, to be fair. I just love anything Blizzard, like Hearthstone and Overwatch, keeps me going. What else? Yakuza 0, finally finished the story.
Well done.
And obviously the game that I'm going to review as well in a bit.
You get platinum on it?
Like fudge, did he?
it's very difficult, yeah.
Some of the tasks are very, there's a lot of work going in to get some of those trophies. It's not, some of the fights as well, I remember playing Yakuza 4 and it was like one's really like inside like a cage or like an octagon fighting, and some of them sort of fights are ridiculously difficult. It's all about timing and everything. So it's one that if you get that trophy, it's one that you sort of proudly say, I'm one of
you. Chat up girls and stuff.
You know, I've got a trophy in Yakuza. That's right, now you want to sleep with me.
Before, when I was like on the last mission on Yakuza, before I went to the location, I saw this guy in a car park all by himself. So I went up and started chatting to him, and he was saying that he can teach me like some other moves. Dodgy character. But I had to pay him money, and it's a gambling thing.
You don't like paying money, do you?
No, I fucking hate paying money.
It's card mainly.
So I give him some money, and then he gambles it on me and asks anyone to step up and try and land a punch on me. If they land a punch, they get 1 minute. If they land a punch on me, then that's it. It's game over. They win the money. So you're in a small area, big circle of people, and all you got to do is try and dodge. Just keep dodging. Yeah. You keep moving about. So I was like just running around in circles, and every time I went to do something, just press the button to sort of dash forward a little bit, moved out of the way. Easy. So that was like 1,000 yen or something, or 10,000 yen for the first bet. And then you do it again, and it's a bigger bloke, a bit stronger, might be a bit quicker. But this time it's like 100,000 yen. So I've done that, and I've managed to do that. Then the next one was 1,000,000 yen. I was like, okay, cool, I'll do that. But this time it was a professional boxer I was fighting. Right. He's coming at me with all these jabs, and he's ducking and weaving. I was like, fuck. But this time you could take a punch, but it was only if you get knocked out that it's game over, you get knocked down. So I sort of got a couple of hits, but I was weaving at the time, and I managed to do that too.
You were weaving?
Weaving. I was sitting there just weaving.
That's probably why you got hit, making a scar.
For those cold winter nights. Yeah, then the next one was about 10 million, I think it was. And I thought, oh, I'm really getting bored of this. I've been just dodging attacks. I want to beat the shit out of some people. Mm. So, I gave up on that. So it's something I need to return to. Once I'd finished it, I thought I'd done loads, because I've been playing the game now for, I would say, 40 hours, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe 50 hours. And it said I'd done, like, 23% of the game.
Nice. Oh, that's pretty good.
So I've got loads more to do. But
are you going to do it? Or are you happy that you finished the story for now?
I'm happy that I finished the story, and it's a game that I will return to when I'm in one of those moods where I'm like, oh, I don't really want to play that one. I'll just jump on this for an hour and just do something random on it.
Yeah. And just sort of do with Assassin's Creed now. Yeah. Just keep coming back to it.
So that's pretty cool. What else? Doom, the VR, on VR. Completed it.
Nice.
Finished that. I thought it was time to put that to the test. Yeah, fucking awesome game. Really loved it. And when you've got the headphones in, the volume's up, it's sort of really peaceful. You're on a spaceship, and you get your objective sent, and a teleporter sort of portal comes up. You go through it, and then the music begins, and it's like heavy metal music or death metal starts going. The door comes up, everything's coming at you, and you're just destroying everything. Blood flying everywhere, and you're teleporting. So the executions, you don't execute like you do in the actual game, where you can do like your thumbs like into their eyes and shit.
For like Killzone, I think, started that.
This you just
thumbs through the eye sockets.
Yeah, that's it. It's like that.
Yeah.
This you just literally, once you've done enough damage, you just teleport into them, and they explode.
Yes, I remember when we played.
That's it, and all their guts go everywhere.
Lovely.
And so I played the shit out of that, and finished it. There's one trophy left I need to get, which is kind of annoying.
That's not bad.
First
playthrough,
Yeah, first playthrough.
Wow.
So I think they're really easy trophies, so I think it's just like Do a level. But yeah, the last one is just to find all the collectible dolls. I found a few, but I didn't realise that there were hidden dolls until I was about halfway through the game, so I don't mind going back and doing that. Also, once I finished it, I saw that they had other maps as well, and these were the classic Doom maps. Well, so then it changes all the graphics into classic Doom, but in VR. And I played that with the original music as well, and that was really cool. Finished that too.
Wolfenstein, the Old Blood.
Oh, right. Elements in the game, isn't it?
Yeah, made by the same Bethesda, same developer.
Nice.
But there's elements when you play the Old Blood where you go into certain levels and then you go into an old Wolfenstein level, so you go through the corridors with the Nazi soldiers and shooting them. And it's actually a lot of fun. I actually felt like I didn't want to leave that world, and I was just like, I'm actually quite enjoying this. I'm just going to run around, old school style, just unloading with a minigun.
It'd be awesome Nazis. If they'd done something like Grand Theft Auto with VR. How cool would that be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be amazing.
I mean, Skyrim, they managed to do it with Skyrim, and the GTA's already got first-person view in it. So,
I'd love there, to that'd be incorporate it, wouldn't it?
Just going up, slapping a hooker.
Yeah, that's it.
It might be over again. Doing it, because no one else you can do with hookers.
It's probably different, isn't it? Obviously, with Skyrim, it's very fantasy-based, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's all axes, dragons, etc.
Yep.
I think with GTA, it's a bit too close to real life that... I think that would cause a lot of controversy. Like,
watch me run across this motorway without looking.
That's it. Yeah. Doing hit and runs.
Me and Kate were doing that into a wall.
I think it'd be a bit too close to reality for them to probably take it to VR. So
they're doing Fallout. I know that's on, which one's that on, the HTC Vive, is it? I think Fallout is, so
on the Vive. Yeah,
that's one that is meant to be coming to the PlayStation now as well, I believe, and one that I will pick up. I did see one advertised the other day, the American Dream, where everything's to do with guns.
Showed me that, didn't
I? Yeah, it's like
ridiculous game.
I did think, I was like, this is just what's wrong. Right now.
Yeah, it's literally
just too many guns.
There's people using guns. Like for everything every day, like if you're working in a burger place and they're flipping burgers using guns, you're shooting the burgers and flipping them.
Turn the light off with the gun.
Yeah, exactly. And when it starts off with like you're a baby in the cot, and it's like, oh, you're awake. Oh, you need to get your mummy's attention. Pick up the guns and you load the guns up and start shooting the shit out of the door. I can see the humour in it. No, it's all innocent. It's just that. it's a little bit. Too dodgy.
I don't think
especially with all the recent activities that keep going on.
It's the last thing they should be thinking of doing.
Yeah, just a bad time with the game coming up. What else have I been playing? So I've started Horizon Zero Dawn.
Nice.
Yeah, which is it's really good. Yeah, really, really enjoying it, and I'm pretty sure that I will only be playing that as a single player game to complete it.
Good.
Looking forward to. Although I say that, and I'm looking at South Park, the Fractured But game.
That comes out next month for the Switch.
You're getting it?
I think I will. I've got... There's about five games coming out. I'm not going to pick up all five.
No.
So some are just going to have to be...
Just do four.
Yeah, just do four.
Yeah.
Has been known by me. But I think that will probably be one of the ones I pick up just because it's something different from the other ones I usually buy that are a pretty usual genre for me. So
yeah.
I might just pick that up.
So... Yeah, I mean, I said to my mate Caveman, he wants to play South Park as well. So I said, how about we take it in turns, we go on to share play, I'll play the first like hour, and then he takes the control over and he plays the next hour. And a different way of playing games, I've never done that before. So I thought, yeah, we'll do that.
Is it level based?
I have no idea. I haven't really watched anything on it.
Might want to do it level by level.
Yeah, we could do. It depends how long each level is.
Yeah.
It'd probably be shorter than an hour, I would have thought. The game's not meant to be that long, 9-10 hours, I heard.
Oh, okay.
So there's lots of other side bits that you can do on it that will increase the length of the game. Yeah, that's... so that and Hero Horizon. Zero Dawn. I need to put it Hero.
Horizon.
Horizon. So I've grown up from a little girl to a woman. Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Can't you tell by my chest? You saw that picture, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
We'll put that in the group.
Yeah, stick it on the four pad. There's a lovely picture of me.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I'll just keep editing my picture, you fuckers.
Oh, yeah, did you appreciate
that? That was lovely, yeah.
Did you like that picture?
Points.
I loved it, yeah.
Yeah, it was lovely. Nice,
was editing? There was no filter.
Yeah, no filter for our faces. Now, I will replace the picture of a frog or Toad.
With a slightly older one,
probably. Yeah, Frog. Well, it's just it's the tree names of Goldie going by Frog or Toad. It's normally Toad, though, isn't it?
Toad, I Frog, Bug-Eyed Cunt.
Anything with big eyes.
Anything with big eyes, yeah. I'm used to it, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
when you see my real face, you'll probably realise that it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, everyone's going to go back to Frog.
Yeah. Poison to my eyes.
This is the Yakuza 0 review by Guy Davis.
Sounds like he's doing something at school. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Today. Once upon a time.
Do you want to stand up?
I brought this game. Right, now, so Yakuza 0. It's developed and published by Sega. It's an action adventure game set in an open world environment that's played in third person view. Though it says open world, the game does have invisible walls and restricts you to the fictional town that you're in at the time. The two towns being Kamurocho, or Kamurocho, and Sotombori. Which are recreations of Tokyo's Kabukicho and Osaka's Dotonbori areas. Fucking that's a mouthful.
Yeah, I'd like to know if anybody speaks Japanese, how many of those you actually pronounce right? Yeah.
Oh, fucking I'm
guessing none.
Did you? I'm terrible with names as well. Especially when we're like playing FIFA and I'm just knowing everyone. Oh, look, there's, what's his name? Cassius or whatever I was calling him. The goalie.
Cassius Clay.
Casillas. Yeah.
Oh,
this is what I was getting wrong. I was like, every player's name, I was just getting wrong. I'm terrible with.
Yeah, but when
names.
You're pronouncing things like Emil Heskey wrong, then you've got a problem.
Emily.
Emily Heskey. Emily Heskey.
Look get his name right. Fucking hell. The scene takes place in December 1988 and gives you an awesome trip down memory lane, from the style of clothes being Larry shirts and suits to black leather greaser biker boy sort of looks. There's phone boxes and pagers and old arcade machines that really put you in the late 80s and even early 90s, because I remember.
I had a pager,
sort of,
yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
I had a pager as well.
I had a pager. Yeah.
I never had a pager.
They were shit.
Because I'm not as old as you lot.
But you had to have one at school, just so it could go off.
Yeah.
Just so you have one on your belt buckle.
Oh no, right? Someone's pager me.
And then
someone's
like, to the phone box. Did you? Would they confiscate it and not give it back to you until the end of the day? Ah, okay. And then that just got upgraded to mobile phones throughout the year.
I had one at college and my lecturer said, what do you think you are, a doctor?
Paging Dr. Goldwine. Well, you're needed in a theatre. You should have stood out in the middle of the class.
I'm needed in theatre.
Pulls out a rubber glove.
Some married gold in a white coat.
So the story plot of Yakuza, you play as two people from the Yakuza world, Kazuma Kiryu of the Kanto region and Goro Majima of the Kansai region. These two characters suddenly find themselves involved in constant unfolding events surrounding the empty lot, which is the centrepiece of a power struggle for all the dark organisations across Japan. In Kamurocho, Kiryu takes a job from a loan shark collecting money from a client who is late in making payments. Kiryu beats the man to a pulp but leaves him breathing, but the next day Kiryu is suspected of murder after the man he collected money from winds up dead at that empty lot. Kiryu's boss, Sohei Dojima, offers a promotion to second-in-command of the Dojima family to whomever can find the deed to the land. Therefore, the most ruthless members go after Kiryu.
Right.
Kiryu goes on the run and works on proving his innocence, thus keeping his foster father from facing retribution for introducing him into the clan. So he's got a lot of fucking weight on his shoulders, basically, and a lot of shit to clean up. In the other place, in Sotombori, Osaka, Goro Majima runs a cabaret club after being exiled from the Tojo clan due to a hit he was involved in years ago. Despite his club being highly successful and one of the most popular clubs in the district, he realises it's nothing more than a cage, as he's under constant surveillance here. One day he's offered the chance to redeem himself and get back into the clan by assassinating a target. He takes the job and sets out to find and eliminate his target, but can't go through with it when he realises his target is a defenceless blind girl, and he decides to protect her instead of killing her and find out why she's being targeted. Mm-hmm. The story has a lot of twists and turns throughout and kept me glued to the controller, as the story is so brilliantly scripted and full of emotions. The actors are fantastic and voices go with the characters so well that it feels like I was just watching and playing an action movie.
It's subtitled,
isn't
it?
It is, yeah. which, I mean, you pretty much have chance to read it because it takes them so long to say what they're saying.
Yeah.
No offence.
You're trying to say, you're trying to say, it's I just, can't read
it's
very
just
quickly.
Quick.
You're right.
What?
So even I can play it.
The actors are fantastic. Voices go with the characters really well. Each character I came across in the game is fantastic as well. And their personalities are really unique, interesting. And I enjoy bumping into whoever offers me a quest, whether it's a main story or a side quest.
Is it open world? Or is it?
It is, but as I said, there's like invisible walls.
Right.
So you'll be restricted to the one town with that one character you're playing as.
But you can do what you want in that town until you move on.
Yeah. Certain missions might, if you start doing a mission, it might restrict you from going a certain way.
Right, okay.
And lead you down another way. But that's normally because they want you to try and avoid certain people that are down there.
Okay.
But that's all part of the story.
Okay, yeah.
Which unfolds. So, you got character customization and growth with abilities is earned by buying them off a skill tree that's gradually unlocked during the game. So, rather than earning experience to purchase skills, you actually use the money you earn from random fights on the streets, completing missions and side quests, gambling, or from the side businesses that both playable characters run. Kiryu gets into the real estate and can purchase properties and hire people to protect and manage them. And Majima runs the Cabaret Club, where you can manage and upgrade girls to keep the punters happy.
So upgrade the girls?
Yeah.
Upgrade girls.
So certain ones, the platinum
what
ones...
kind of girl upgrade? Like from a ginger to a blonde.
How do I get into this?
You can do that. Well, you can change the appearance of all the platinum ones, so you can choose various hairstyles. There's loads of different hairstyles,
right.
Loads of different makeup schemes you can use, different accessories, perfumes, dresses.
And do you know the perfume smell like on the game?
It basically gives you a rating.
Okay,
so,
right, okay.
Like if they're funny, cute, beautiful,
like control,
and all this. No, what you control.
It smells like my
comes
arse.
Out that little speaker. Yeah. What
am I
that's
for? Oh, it's got it in my eye.
Chanel number 5.
Yeah, so that's where you can upgrade the girls. You can lose money as well from this person called Mr. Shakedown. He's a huge man that will stand out from the rest of the people around. So if he spots you, he will start chasing you. You can run away from him if you have enough stamina, but if he catches you, then you'll have a tough fight. And especially if you're early on in the game. If he wins, you'll lose all your money, which is a bit of a bitch.
All of it?
All of it, yeah, you lose all your money. You can purchase special clothes from certain shops that have secret hidden compartments for storing money. So this will save some cash if you ever are shaken down. You can get your money back as well from them if you beat them up later on. You can just beat the shit out of them when you're
a bit of GTA. Go find Mr. Shakedown.
Yeah, I was...
Yeah,
that's
it. Get my money back.
I got really lucky because I saw him asleep, and it comes up with how much money that they've got above their head. And I saw him asleep. I was like, is he asleep or is he knocked out? I don't really know. So I just walked up to him and then stole all my money off of him and the extra. So
nice.
I walked away with about 14 million yen or something off of him.
Just how much in real money?
£5.50.
Nice. Brain prostitute.
I went to the karaoke bar.
Happy hour.
Yeah, brilliant. So money is mainly used for investing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is for like extra health, strength, new moves, buying clothes for defense, and buying repairing weapons, buying healing drinks, or taking part in some of the various entertainment that's located all over the district. So some of these entertainment facilities will also include karaoke.
Nice.
Which is really cheesy, and you've got to press certain buttons at the right time. No, you can't sing. It's just a time reaction.
Right.
But you just have to press the right buttons at the right time. But during this, even though they're like Yakuza tough guys and that, you will see them in like a pop video in the background looking really cheesy, dancing around, and
yeah.
It is really amusing. But because I just love how silly it goes, like off from the main story, it's brilliant. So, yeah, that's quite fun. Dancing competitions as well, you can challenge people to a dance off on the disco floor.
Seen your moves,
not too bad. Hitting baseballs again, it's a reaction sort of time thing.
Done that, yeah, that was in the early games as well.
Yeah,
it's like in the
it's just like a bat and stand type thing.
Yeah.
You can
have to hit certain
got a big scoreboard that you see, and you have to hit it in the corners and in the middle for different points. Playing pool, bowling, darts, they have the Sega retro arcade machines like Outrun, Fantasy Zone, Space Harrier and Hang On. There's RC racing, where you can upgrade cars and earn money from winning. Underground fight clubs, Mahjong, as well as other things to do and explore around the town, like watch semi-adult movies.
Semi?
Just yeah. Semi, yeah. They'd just be in, like, bright knickers.
Soft, like a carry-on film.
Yeah. Just like that.
Oh, Barbara Windsor did get him out once, didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she did, yeah, well, she was exercising.
Now get out of my pub!
Not in extended, she didn't. No, that would have been terrible.
Or you can also watch and bet on female wrestlers as well, wrestling each other, which is quite cool. Yeah, I know. Both Kiryu and Majima, they have three unique fighting styles, as well as a fourth option, which is just for weapons that purchased.
So four styles.
They've got three fighting styles, but they both have a weapon
slot.
Yeah, that's their fourth. Kiryu has a brawler option, a beast option, and rush. Brawler is an all-rounder option and gives you satisfying finishing blows, like finishing moves, and pretty cool. Beast is strong attack base, which is usually slower than the others, but enables you to use the environment and objects around at the same time. Again, this style has some good finishes as well. And last is rush, which is a fast sort of boxing type style, really good for weaving around and just being the shit out of them really quickly. But there's no, I didn't find that I had really any finishers when I was doing that. I think there might have been one where I sort of done like this diving headbutt into their face.
Is it like slow motion, the finishers?
Most of the time. So you get ones where,
like a cutscene,
like they push them up against the wall, punch them in the stomach, punch them in the face, and grab them by the head and slam their head into the wall.
Oh, nice.
Or just put their heel straight into the bridge of their nose while they're on the floor.
Nice.
It's, PG.
Yeah. Pretty grim.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, with rush, they're easier to evade attacks when you rush, right. But it takes like a second. Time sort of slows down as you're choosing your style as well, so you get like a second, but as you're choosing style, you might see someone come and attack you with a samurai sword or something.
Right.
Majima, he has a thug style, which is just similar to Kiryu's brawler style. Slugger, which is has a baseball bat, so it's all orientated around that.
Right.
He treats it a bit like a nunchucker and can spin it around and everything. It's pretty cool. And last is Breaker, which is the one that I use the most. A bit like breakdancing. He's just going to spin his feet all over the place and beat the shit out of multiple enemies all
Eddie
at once.
Gordo.
Yeah, Eddie Guerrero with a capoeira, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
is
it.
Capoeira. Which you can just beat up multiple enemies at once, but again, not a lot of finishing moves on that. Also, I found out after completing the game, there's one more additional style for each character to unlock, which unlocks when you complete the businesses. So I've got to go back and complete the businesses to unlock these extra two styles. So one of them is called, I'm just looking at it, the Dragon of Dejima style, which is for Kiryu, and the other style is the Mad Dog of Shimano style. Which I don't even know. I haven't seen these styles. I didn't want to look it up and ruin the surprise when I actually get it done. So overall, the story is one of the best stories I've encountered in any game I've ever played.
Wow,
it's now one of my favourite stories. I didn't actually think I was going to rate it that high, especially higher than The Last of Us, which I really enjoyed that story. Uncharted 4 again, really, really good. And when I bought Yakuza, I didn't have that feeling that this game is going to blow me away that much. Mm. It's the story that really does just hook you in. So the story is about 30-odd hours long, I would say, but gameplay can last easily 60 hours or more. The environments and lighting of the game are brilliant when you think that this game was originally released in Japan in 2015. Which is crazy, because it only came out over here in the US in 2017. So it's still kind of new one, aren't they?
Yeah.
This is all based before the other six games as well, this Yakuza 0.
It's a prequel.
So, so newcomers as well as hardcore fans get to know about how Majima went from this kind, well-hearted gentleman sort of following orders to this complete nutcase, doing as he wishes, as well as seeing Kiryu go from the obedient, respected Yakuza member to the hero that we'll... grown to love this bloke. Is amazing. The gameplay when fighting at first feels a bit outdated. I've also heard people compare it to Batman or Assassin's Creed and say how it's not as fluid as them games.
Right.
But in Yakuza, it's not trying to be Batman and it's not trying to be Assassin's Creed. It's its own type of game, which is good. I like that feel. And I do agree that it could be more tweaked and modernised a bit, but I think, like I said, it came out in Japan in 2015, did I say it came out? Yeah, so that's probably why it just feels a little bit outdated. I'm interested in this new one that's coming out, Yakuza 6, Song of Life, I think it's called. I don't know what the fighting's going to be like in that. Similar to all the others, I would have thought, but the feel.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely let everyone know. But it's not hard to manage the fighting style anyway. It is satisfying as hell, especially when you're fighting through buildings. It gives me the feeling of Ninja Gaiden 2, Ash, when slaughtering enemies up the long staircase and they're just never ending. They just keep coming. That's kind of like this, but every time you get to like the last bloke, you either punch or kick them through one of the walls that fall down, like the Japanese walls. They just kind of touch them and they fall down.
Like paper
door, they rip. And then you're into another room full of other bad guys, so you just keep going and going and going. It's just fucking brilliant. I love it. After all of that, there's also a two-player mode on this game.
Oh, well.
Which entitles you to play four of the mini games against each other, which I think are darts, bowling, karaoke, and dancing or something. It's something like that. You can play with a mate just locally, offline, or over share play if you fancy doing that. Out of 10, I'm going to give this a 9. Improvement would be to get rid of invisible walls. No one likes invisible walls. If you can't go somewhere, just build a wall there. Just fucking put a wall. There's no point in there being an invisible wall. And also just to modernise the fight a little bit. But like, that didn't make me enjoy the game any less.
No.
The game is one of the best games I've played, story-wise. And I will go back to it to try and platinum it. I will fucking do that.
Everyone's looking there, shaking their head. Weighing your point. Obviously, I've not played Zero, but I've played Four.
I highly recommend you play Zero.
And Four.
You will love it.
Four was incredible. Again, probably the same things that you've picked up on, which is probably what's picked up on every Yakuza game, is obviously the invisible walls and the fighting style being a bit outdated.
Yeah.
But like you said, I don't think it ever took away from my enjoyment from the game.
No.
I don't remember ever playing anything else whilst I was playing that game because I was so hooked in.
It does do that too.
Even though
well.
It's not in not in English, subtitled.
Yeah.
I think that adds to it in a way because it feels authentic. Mm. I think if it was a bunch of American voices like, "Hey, yeah, dude," I feel disconnected from it. I feel like this isn't really Japanese culture, but I feel totally sucked in. And the facial expressions, although the graphics
brilliant,
look dated in areas, the facial expressions are probably some of the realest I've seen. The faces all look really gritty, really. You can see all the craters.
They've got
in their
the lighting just right. The lips are moving perfectly to the speech.
Yeah,
Everybody
you feel invested in as well. People you want to help them. There's bad guys you like. I want to make you suffer when I get to you. I'm going to kick your ass.
It's like when you watch a movie, you have your favourite guy. You're like, oh man, this bloke's a right bastard.
Yeah.
You don't really have that feeling with other games. With this, it has that feeling straight away.
Yeah.
But you like every single character in their own way. Even the bad guys, you're like, oh man, he's a right dick. I can't wait to see him again and beat the shit out of him.
It's
awesome.
I don't know if he's in this. Is it Mad Dog Majima?
Yep.
Yes, with the eye patch.
But he's
probably
not,
didn't have an eye patch.
He's not. He's still got an eye patch. Because I did explain in this as well. It was due to the target that he had to eliminate before this.
Yeah.
So before 1988, and he failed to do that, and that's why they burnt his fucking eye out or whatever it is. I don't know, he messed up somewhere along the line.
This shows in Yakuza 4, this whole thing, that whole scene where he makes a mistake with that. I won't spoil it if anybody wants to play that game. Obviously you can go back and play on the PS3.
It's been out for a while.
Yeah, it has been out for a while.
Spoilers have probably been done.
But the whole scene and the build up to it is incredible. And it's like a fight scene. There's this whole thing where they shoot a bunch of people, but one of them is rubber bullets, so they fake killing someone. The way it plays out, your jaw hits the floor, and you're like, oh my God.
It's like a movie each time.
Incredible twat. Incredible plot twist. Is that what I meant to say?
It's got an incredible twat.
But the plot twist is incredible. It kind of reminds me. So do you remember the film The Departed?
Yeah.
Yes. So that was taken from a film called Infernal Affairs.
Yeah.
Which is an Asian movie, which is very similar plot. And this game seems to feel very similar in that way, in the way the plot draws out, and the way there's between police and between the Yakuza, there is some betrayals going on here. It's not as quite as clean cut as these are the good guys, these are the bad guys. There are a lot of bad guys doing good things in a way, and good guys doing a lot of bad things in a way as well. So, no, definitely.
I think you will love Yakuza 0. I know that you liked 3 and 4.
I love 3 and 4, yeah, so I'm sure I noticed Kiwami came out as well, which is one that came out not that long ago.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's the, is that the first one that's just been remade?
I think it might
remastered.
Be, yeah.
That's what I thought. And the new one that's coming out, 6,
yeah,
so, is based around the girl and her baby.
Yes.
The girl has an accident. I think she dies, unfortunately. But that girl...
Immediate spoiler.
Well, if you've seen the trailer, you'd know. It just looked like she gets hit by a car. Oh,
okay.
And she's holding her baby. But that girl is the adopted girl from the orphanage. So that's Kiryu's, like, her father, in a way. In 4, do you have all the... I can't remember 4 that well. I remember 3 really well, because there's a lot to do in the orphanage. And you have this young girl, and she's... in every single Yakuza one other than 0, because
the orphanage is around from 4 as well.
Yeah, she's like the older girl out of all of them that's sort of the mother figure.
That's it.
Yeah, so it's her baby. I think Kiryu's going to be the one that has to look after this baby in 6. Yeah, Yakuza 6, become a dad.
Now, between that and Far Cry,
it's very difficult to play it.
Where'd you go?
Yeah. Huh?
Between that and Far Cry, where'd you go?
Oh, both. I'll make more time for gaming.
Give up work.
Looks like I'll just have to give up
sleep for family.
I would make the children up for adoption. I mean,
yeah. Work is my escape route.
Send the children to work. And you could just be a stay-at-home dad.
Like that.
But not looking after children, just gaming.
And now to use a tab pretty well. Just got to train them on the computer.
People, you need to subscribe to us all so that we can actually stop having day jobs and then we can just play games for a living.
Yeah. All right,
go find me.
So that's me done with Yakuza.
I'll go next, so mine...
Be a lot shorter than mine, hopefully.
Yeah, it will be shorter. It's a short game.
Sorry.
So, to briefly just give you a background on Celeste, obviously I've spoken about it a couple of times, it is a game that was originally created by 2 Canadian guys, developers Matt, I hope I pronounced this right, Forsen and Noel Berry. So Matt Forsen is actually famous for Towerfall, Ascension, so he...
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he made
what do you
game,
call it? Jumpy Man Shoot Your Arrow game.
Yes, that's it. Well, we play a lot of that on Friday night.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Good fun.
We play that a lot on a Friday. It's a lot of multiplayer fun. Yeah. Obviously, old school style graphics. Have probably chucked in hours on that game between the amount of Friday sessions we've had on that. So,
yeah.
And,
don't ask me how many games
I win
somehow.
I think you've ruined the game. You seem to always win.
Yeah, I love that game.
But yeah, so that was a game you made before that. So they developed it under a company name which is called Matt Makes Games. It was released this year, 25th of January 2018. It's on a host of different platforms, actually. So it's on the Switch, PS4, Xbox One. It's even on Linux, on Linux, however you want to pronounce it, Windows and Mac OS as well. So I won't spoil the story too much, but the plot is about a character called Madeline, or Madeline, however you want to pronounce it. So it's based in Western Canada, and the whole basis of the game is to climb a mountain. So this game is about, basically, you're going to die a lot. And I mean, a lot. I mean, I completed the game, my first playthrough, and I died over 2,000 times.
Jesus.
Cool. It's just one of those that you'll die, you'll immediately spawn. You'll try, you'll die, you'll immediately respawn.
You're just not really bad at it, or is it just that's the way it's played?
I think I'm pretty decent at it. I think I'm pretty decent at it. There is just times that...
2,000
A lot of it is just trial and error.
Yeah.
With them. And I'm one of those people that if I see a secret area, some people will just complete the game and be like, yeah, I'll do that on my second playthrough. I'm like, no, I'm doing that now.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
You're there.
Now I've got to do it. I'm engaged in this, I'm going to do it now.
Yeah.
So this mountain has mythical powers in that it will... bring out your inner darkness into an actual embodiment. So,
okay.
Madeline's character has a darker side to herself, which has like purple hair, looks kind of gothy.
Nice.
And this is like her sort of her inner being that maybe you know the darker side of yourself that you keep in.
Yeah.
This mountain has a potential to bring it out, and then you're almost against yourself in a way.
What's it like, a Jekyll and Hyde type?
Yes,
thing,
very
you
know? Much
it's,
so.
It's reminding me of that other game with that weird girl. I swear she had. I'm not sure if she had a balloon actually. It was a weird girl, and I was playing it on the Vita. And then you could change the world setting, and it made her different.
Oh.
Do you know? Oh, man, I can't.
It wasn't Amnesia, was it?
Yeah, it could be. Is that the one with the weird girl?
It might be, yeah. I'm sure that's one on Beat You Tell Me.
I'll look it up. You carry on.
I'll carry on. So at this point, basically, it's just stage-based. You just got to get to the top of the mountain. So you'll be jumping over a lot of pitfalls. As I said before, you only have real 2 movements, which is jump and dash.
Right.
So once you've dashed once, similar to like harder Mario stages, I guess. So this dash you can only use once.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so you've got to use them smartly. You can cling to walls. However, if you start moving, you can only cling on for a few seconds before the character will turn, start flashing red and just drop. Right. So you can wall jump, but if there's enough space, you can bounce off walls. So you'll look at a stage in front of you, like on the screen, and you'll think, right, okay, this section, how do I do this? So there is some pre-planning.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, full pre-planning involved when you're doing that. So this is where the trial and error comes in. So yeah. You'll try something, you'll try it.
2,000 times.
That's it. But this is one of those games where a lot of games, I'm quite hard-headed, and I'll just be like, no, it is this way, and I'll just keep doing it that way until it'll be successful. And then I might read up on it and I'll be like, oh, there was a lot easier way to do this.
Yeah.
This game makes you really think that, right, okay, I've done this 5 or 6 times, this hasn't worked, maybe I need to rethink how I'm going about this.
Is it screen by screen? Sorry, so is it?
Yeah, so it's just like a Mario game, it's just screen by screen. Right, so you get through one screen, right, you're on the next screen. Okay, what's the next objective I've got to get over to the next screen? There are strawberries that you've got to collect as well, and they're always just out of reach, so you've got to find ways to get them. Right. There are hidden puzzle elements as well, so you'll notice sections of a wall that you think like, oh, okay, that could be a secret area, so you'll pop through it and it'll secret area, and then you'll find other strawberries as well. There are 7 stages in total with an extra stage after that, so I've only just completed it. I haven't done the 8th stage yet, so I'll obviously
so you haven't completed it.
Well, I haven't completed it. Well, I've seen the ending and everything.
There's an 8th stage,
but so it's one of those games that just encourages repeat playthroughs. So it's got like a speed run mode as well. If you're into, you know, sort of having high scores for bragging rights, you'll love this sort of game, because your speed runs, you could, you know, you might want to do minimal deaths or 0 deaths if you think you're really that good at it. There are also B-side tapes to collect as well. You look like you're going to say something.
I found the game.
What's the game?
Murasaki Baby.
Never heard of it.
Nope.
What? That one there. The weird character. I swear you had. I remember showing you on Vita, I think.
Never heard of it. So we'll just move right past that.
Yeah. Carry on.
Anyway.
So yeah, there's some B-side cassette tapes that you can find. And these are usually hidden. Well, they're always hidden within a stage. What that does is that opens up an even harder equivalent of the same stage.
Right.
So once you complete the game, you'll find these B-sides, you'll complete harder equivalents of those levels. And from what I've seen on Twitter, I think there are even C-sides as well. So I don't know how difficult they're going to be. I've done one of the B-sides so far, and I thought it was okay. I mean, because I'm used to the mechanics now after finishing the game, I feel pretty adept at sort of looking at the level and working out what jumps I can make and what I can't and what I need to do.
How do they make it harder? They just like move things further apart or something?
They'll just put more spikes. So and you'll have to think more about your jumps. So the ones that I'm doing at the moment, you're not really going to get a chance to cling onto walls, or your dash that you've got, you might not be able to use that to the very end. So you're going to have to work this out by just clinging onto walls, jumping off. Knowing sometimes you might have to just drop from a height and hope you can grab onto the wall.
It sounds really stressful.
It is one of those games where you're really like, oh my god, but you're like, no, I'm not giving up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But then you could lose hours to it. I mean, my first playthrough, I think I did in about 10 to 15 hours, so
that's not too bad.
You could easily sink a couple of hours a night on this sort of game.
I'm guessing the seaside is just a bit on the beach, is it?
Yes, it is. It's just a bit on the beach, yeah. thanks for that. That's you. So I think, so other games that are probably compared to play Super Meat Boy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've got that.
Very difficult game.
No. You just bounce. Right?
Not really.
Yeah, it's really easy.
Not for the pro over
it. Shovel Knight. Have you ever played Shovel Knight?
Is it easy?
No.
Completed it.
Yeah,
I played Shovel Knight.
No, I haven't actually played Shovel Knight.
So a lot of it is just around jumping, dashing, and obviously pre-planning how you play it out. But obviously, speed running will just be minimal mistakes, is what you're looking at. So, review-wise, this game has got a lot of praise. I mean, I couldn't find a review that really knocked it or gave it any flaws. To give an example, these websites all gave it perfect 10. So, Destructoid, IGN, Nintendo Life, and Nintendo World Report all gave it perfect 10.
Wow. So none that I've really heard of.
The ones outside of that, well, pretty much all 9s. I think only one scored it. I think the lowest score was an 8.
Wow.
So, oh, that's good, really good. Yeah.
So if you like indie games and you like to play a game in between games, you know, something that when you can't want to play your main game, you just want them to pick up, this is the ideal game. So graphically, sort of like 8-bit, sort of like Tower Ascension, really. It's got a lot of charm to it, so the storyline. Got a lot of charm, so there's a lot of topics that it deals with in there, sort of things like depression, almost anxiety. The story all comes together. There are some characters that you meet.
Well, you did die 2,000 times, I'd be depressed.
There's a character you meet called Theo, who is an aspiring photographer. So he's quite hip, cool, likes to take a selfie. They've got this thing there, it's called, it's blatantly on Instagram, but it's like an Insta photo thing that he's always talking about. He's taking pictures of the mountain. You talk to him and you relate to him a lot, and he helps you through your issues. There's a ghost of a concierge for a hotel, which you end up doing a bunch of tasks for as well. And there's a granny who's a bit of a bitch, not gonna lie, who's quite horrible to you throughout. Obviously, again, I won't go into detail about your sort of relationships that you form with them, but they're the characters that you meet along the way as well. Sound wise, the sound's quite relaxing. The music, for such an intense game, the music's quite chilled, quite relaxed.
It probably needs to be, I suppose.
The intensity comes from dying, and well, dying.
Well, but if it's trying to conquer sort of depression and that as well, you want that relaxing music.
Yeah, that's
to
it.
Go with it's pretty good.
For a game that's in a sort of short 10-hour game, the story's quite interesting. I didn't expect it to really have me involved that much. I thought it was just going to be, you know, like a Mario game, I guess. Mario games aren't really that involving. It's paper-thin plot. But this actually had me quite involved.
How much did you say it was?
So, I've written all the prices down. So, for Xbox One and PS4, you're looking at $15.99. And to be honest with you, at that price, I think it's a steal.
I'll wait for a sale, though.
You wait for a sale. But I think in comparison to other indie games that I've played, I would easily say that's a perfect price for an entry. Yeah. I don't think you're losing out by paying $15.99. There's definitely games I've paid more for and probably got less enjoyment out of. So even some AAA games as well. Out on the Switch prices tend to be a little bit higher than what you got on PS1. It's PS1, I guess, just being a new console. But it's $17.99, and I paid full price for it. And honestly, it's probably the best indie game sort of wise I've probably played, along with Shovel Knight. So yeah. Definitely.
And you've nearly completed it. You've just got that last level to do.
Just like you've nearly completed Yakuza.
I bet you fucking did.
No, if you haven't played it, honestly, I couldn't recommend it more to play. So if you're looking for an in-between game or even just a new game to play, definitely give it a go.
This one's made by Guerrilla Games, and it's produced by Sony Entertainment, and they're the people that did Killzone. You know Killzone? Other game they've done that's not Killzone. so it's pretty good. It's open world games, RPG action. Set 1,000 years in the future, most of mankind has all like sort of died out, and it's now filled with like mechanical dinosaur type creatures.
So you're going to play it.
You play as a character called Aloy, who is she's voiced by Ashley Birch, like really well. She's like just a beautiful hero, really. I think she's proper hot. Aloy, do you not?
No,
I don't know. I think just powerful woman.
I like that about her.
Guy doesn't like powerful women.
It's more.
He's dealt with.
I just deal with too many powerful women. It's just the hair. I like her hair.
What's wrong with her hair?
I'd rather it be black, straight, and washed.
He just like the emo.
Yes, I do.
Or maybe not washed for emo. Actually.
A bit like Ash.
I like God.
Yeah, emo. Just in touch with my feelings.
Sorry.
So as you said earlier, you start as a small girl. And you're being raised by a man called Rost, because she's an outcast from her tribe. He teaches her how to like hunt and survive and stuff. And while they're doing that, she falls underground into this like lab, and she finds a thing called a focus, which like clips onto her ear, and it enables her to see like machines' weaknesses and paths, and like electrical things and that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a bit like detective vision you get like on a lot of games like The Witcher,
like Batman. Like that.
Yeah, Batman as well. Yeah. The plot is basically Aloy's journey. She's trying to find out where her parents are. And discover the truth about the old world as well, because obviously it's all, you know, metal dinosaurs and beautiful landscapes, but there's still remnants of like earth, like there's like old buildings and stuff all like rusted up and stuff. You meet loads of different characters all the way through, like really really interesting characters and stories. It doesn't really feel like a lot of fetch quests or anything. There's deep stories for each.
Cool.
A bit like kind of like The Witcher, you know. It's like it's maybe not the same kind of good storytelling as that, but yeah, same kind of thing. So you complete main quests and side quests for an open world. As I said, the main enemies, they're mechanical dinosaurs. You get like striders, grazers and watchers, which are sort of relatively harmless. And you can override them as well after a certain time. And also you get like bigger ones like shell walkers, which shoot either like freezing stuff at you or fire.
When you said override, what do you mean with that?
Override, yeah, you have like this spear thing and you can like stick it in their ass.
Oh, shit.
And you can control them. And some of them you can actually ride around, others just accompany you and attack shit for you.
Oh, that's cool.
So they can like defend you against the other robots or, you know, if you go into a base where there's people as well.
Nice, so you're basically just overriding them.
Yeah, and you just override them. And then you have override.
And you've tamed them.
Yeah, that's it. They're pretty much tamed.
Override
yeah.
and override.
And later on as well, you get to be able to repair them as well.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
you get long legs as well. They're like basically like Diplodocus. Is it Diplodocus? Brontosaurus.
Brontosaurus, Diplodocus. Yeah. They're both
you climb up them.
Long necks.
And you override them, and then that destroys your map, and it shows you all the locations and stuff are cool. as well. There's like four or five of them in the open world. And also flying ones as well called Glinthawks, and they are motherfuckers.
Okay.
Yeah, they're proper. Have you met any of them yet?
No.
Yeah, they're really, really good. And also you get humans as well, which is like there's like bandit camps, which you can overtake.
Okay.
And then you like they can move their other tribe people and stuff in as well.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool. Weapons. We've got loads and loads of weapons. There's like you can have spears, bows, tripcasters, which is I'm sure you probably use that. It's like a sort of tripwire thing. You can get electric ones, fire ones, rope casters, which you use for the flying things. So you can basically shoot a rope at them and grapple them to the ground.
Yeah.
It can take like two or three to hold one, and they're fucking well fast as well. So it's like really, really difficult to get them down. You've got a rattler as well, which is a bit like a crossbow shotgun. Slingshots, which you can load with different things, like frozen things or...
like chips and peas.
Pizzas. So you can freeze the enemies. And like when you hit an enemy and it sort of it raises the bar of how much it's frozen or how much it's on fire, and it sort of takes damage while it's been doing that.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that.
And you can sort of buy and upgrade weapons from merchants with, I think, the currency is shards.
Okay.
And then you can like craft ammo, medipacks and stuff like that, usual sort of stuff. There's a skill tree as well. The maximum level you get in the main game is up to 50. And then in the Frozen Wilds, which is the DLC, you can go up to level 60.
Oh, cool.
I'm currently at level 53. I've literally just started the Frozen Wilds.
And you're leveling
it? I just started about 6 hours in it.
Good,
yeah,
so far?
It was wicked, yeah. And because I got the Platinum on the original game, and I just kept playing it after that as well, I had like 13 spare points, so I've literally unlocked literally the whole new skill tree. There's like 8 things, and I only one left now.
Oh,
so that's
cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah, the main things, the three at the first, you get Brave, which is like you can get a concentration thing. So if you're firing an arrow, you can slow down time slightly.
Oh,
and
course.
Like, so you can give time to aim and that, and critical hits as well, and knockdown, so you can knock the robot things over. Also, you've got Forager as well, so you can lure creatures too. Have you done that at all?
I've seen it, I haven't really bothered
with it. Basically, like you whistle, they come over, you're in stealth, and you can get one hit kills and stuff like that.
Oh, that's nice.
And then you get Prowler as well, which is the last skill tree, where you can do like silent strike and dodge as well.
Cool.
Like extended dodge. You can do dodge anyway, but extended.
That's cool.
And then in the Frozen Wilds, they open a new skill tree called Traveller, which I've pretty much unlocked everything, and that includes like takedowns from animals. So if you're riding one of the animals around, you can take down people from it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is pretty sweet. Just love the game, really. It's like fantastic graphics. It looks absolutely amazing. I've got it on a normal PS4, and it does make a hell of a lot of noise when I play it.
Yeah.
But it looks amazing. Just to put the headphones on and just enjoy it.
Yeah, that's how I've actually been playing it with the VR headset on, because the quality of the screen on the VR headset is pretty nice anyway. So that with the headphones plugged in, all I'm getting is Horizon. Nothing
that's
else.
All you need.
Yeah, it's just
I need to get
brilliant
one just for that. Yeah,
and I've been blown away by the graphics.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
It's really original looking as well. Sort of, but it's got a bit of everything in it. Isn't it? Like,
yeah,
it looks a bit like Middle Earthy sort of, but it's got like robot stuff and buildings and it's just it's wicked.
It looks very similar to. Do you remember a game called Enslaved on the Xbox 360?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean that looks similar to another game. I think it was by the same developer, but. It was about a. I just looked it up because I couldn't remember all about it. But it was a game that's almost similar to Prince of Persia in a way. So it was a guy with a girl character. This one sort of here.
Yeah, I completed that one.
Yeah, so the character almost here kind of reminds me of Aloy. But again, you fought against like you was in like almost like an Amazonian sort of area.
Yeah,
he's fighting with a lot of machines. Yeah, there's a lot of duck and cover to try and avoid.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'd be best to avoid combat rather than actually engage in combat as well. So it kind of gives me that similar vibe. And you talking about it kind of brought that game back to my memory.
I've not even seen that game, but it does look quite similar.
That game was brilliant. So, I mean, obviously, if Horizon's, you know, with the credit that it's been given, and obviously the sort of awards it's been awarded, so
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a proper good game. Yeah, it's got beautiful music to it as well. Do you like, have you heard the music? Obviously, I'm guessing you have.
Yeah, actually, in the camp.
Really, like, it's very emotional.
In the proving, they're like banging drums and stuff. Mm. And I just sat on a stump, on this tree stump for about 5 minutes listening to them. I was like, do I get anything out of this? I don't even know. I press triangle to stand back up. And that's what she said. She went, nice. And then there was some old lady giving a speech to these children, telling them about mother and how it all came to be. So I sat there again. I was we'll see if there's a trophy on this one. So I sat there for like 10 minutes. I was like, she's still fucking talking. Yeah. I was like, I can't even be bothered to wait to the end. So I just pressed triangle, got up. I was thinking, I bet there was like 30 seconds left or something. Yeah, like
you just left the pad there.
Yeah.
Just went and made a cup of tea or something.
Gone for a smoke.
Done. Yeah. Yeah, it's got a dedicated photo mode on it, so you can really show off the graphics. It just looks amazing. It's a content-rich story. It's really, really smooth as well, because it's made exclusively for the PS4. Yeah. There's no dropping frame rate that I've noticed anyway. It just makes the older PlayStations go a bit apeshit. But it is enhanced for Pro as well. And for such a big game, it never really feels like grindy, I don't think. I enjoy every bit of it.
Yeah.
I enjoy riding around. I enjoy just looking at the lighting and I'm in the frozen wilds, like when she breathes, she's got like the steam in her mouth and stuff, footprints. Nice. It looks incredible.
Yeah.
You can currently get the complete edition as well for £25, so, and that includes Frozen Wilds in it as well, the DLC. Nice. But if you've already got the game, that's, you get it for £9.99 Frozen Wilds.
Yeah, it's currently on a sale, isn't it? I think on the PlayStation at the moment.
Yeah, until the end of this month, I think. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one I would pick up.
Yeah, I got it. I think I actually got it in a sale. It's definitely worth picking up if you.
You always wait for a sale.
I love those sales.
It's because of the PS4. So it was one of the choices that I can't remember what my girlfriend told me the choice were to pick the games that came with it. So I was like, yeah, this game looks badass. So I'm going to have to take that. So.
Yeah, man.
That it is.
Yeah, so it's won loads of awards as well, including Best Original Game at the Games Critics Award, and pretty much 9s and 10s across the board. I've done about 65 hours on it so far.
Nice.
Wow.
Got the Platinum Trophy on the original game. Just working through the Frozen Wilds now, trying to get every trophy on that and do every mission.
Obviously, I think I mentioned before that it came runner-up to Breath of the Wild as
Game of the Year, which... It looks very, very similar, where the grass sort of blows around and stuff like that.
Although some PlayStation fans were, having a bit of a cry about it, obviously there's people who have their own sort of console bias, but... I mean, that's no sort of small feat. Obviously, you guys probably haven't played Zelda, but Breath of the Wild.
That's one game that makes me kind of want to switch.
So. It's incredible. I mean, obviously, with Nintendo games, not to take away from, obviously, we've been talking about Horizon, but with Nintendo games, there's just like this element of charm that they just add to their games that I find other developers just can't replicate.
Yeah,
only fair few can actually replicate that. So for this game to finish runner-up to... a Nintendo staple that's been going on for more than 20 years.
Exactly, yeah. It was a brand new game, pretty much. I mean, it stands on the shoulders of a lot of games, but that's how it works, yeah.
So to stand second to that in its own right is no small feat. It definitely means it's, probably one of the best games for the console.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me want to play it now. I've not, I've not really picked it up yet.
Definitely should. I mean,
I've already been looking at it like, how many trophies are there for me to get a platinum?
it's not a too difficult trophy. Forget the platinum.
They rated it 2.5 out of 10 for
Did they? Takes about 50-60 hours to do, but they said
between 30 and 35.
So really?
Just saying.
Well, it took me about 50-60 hours.
Did you play on easy? Because they did say you could do it on easy.
I played on normal. I just enjoyed every minute. I was enjoying just literally riding around.
I completed it in a day as well, so that's full of shit.
Your days generally last longer than everyone else's.
Yeah.
They need that much.
They all just melt together the day, so he doesn't even know what day it is today.
What year?
Yeah, still in 2015.
Anything else to say about it?
Not really, just my score, probably about a 9.5. I was going to give it a 10, and I remember from playing it like the other day, the cutscenes can be quite long, like when you're talking to people, and sometimes it's not that relevant. So 9.5, but other than that, definitely buy it if you've got a PS4.
I've got it.
Yeah.
Darren, it's just you. Fucking buy it. I'll buy it.
Yeah. I'll just borrow it off Guy.
Yeah,
I'll borrow it off you.
You can't borrow it from me, it's digital download.
If you want to probably want to sell it to me for 5 quid so you can buy something else.
Could be on the sale right now, though.
Yeah, right. How about you don't buy any packs or FIFA?
I didn't play FIFA.
Buy any credits for Clash of Clans. And buy that game because it's amazing.
Exactly. I'm sure you've put all those kids through college by now that have made Clash of Clans.
The thing is, there's a lot of games. There's a lot of games you guys have been mentioning over the last few weeks that I'm thinking, I wouldn't mind trying that. I wouldn't mind trying this. And I'm thinking I've got a week until Far Cry comes out, and now I know that's going to take all my gaming time up.
You better get platinum. That's all I'm saying.
So yeah. I think
you
don't come away with platinum and then,
with how much you've been talking up.
Yakuza sounds amazing from what you've said.
Yeah.
You know that Horizon, is it Horizon Zero Dawn?
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
I'm even contemplating now, thinking, oh, maybe I should get a Switch as well. I've got all these ideas running in my head. I don't know what to do. So yeah, but I've got it's got to be one game at a time. But I can't play like with Guy. I can't.
Yeah, you have
do three, four games. Well, yeah,
you need to eat.
I can't do multiple gaming. If I'm into a game like Far Cry in the past or other ones, I have to finish that game before I can go on to another. If I get to a stage,
I wish I was like that.
It's a frustrating thing with me with Metal Gear Phantom Pain that I played. Was so stuck into that game, but I just got to this section that was so difficult and it was just infuriating that I had to stop playing it because there was another game out that then came out and I never went back to it.
No.
And it sort of pains me a little bit to say that really because I really wanted to finish it. So maybe one day. You got to the end. Oh, well, yeah. I might need to get you to help me with it.
Extra.
You're going to have to help me out maybe.
I did have to YouTube too because it was really, really
good. Yeah, I was looking at it and it was the bit where. You're in a base and there's them three
things. Yeah, that's what I did, yeah.
That's the one I was really struggling with.
There's a really easy way to do that level.
Good, right, you're going to have to show me that.
I'll show you how to do it one day.
I'll have to relearn all the controls.
Well, you can just go on YouTube and watch it, yeah.
But yeah.
So let's wrap up with the top five characters. So I'll start it.
You're going to start with number five.
Number five. It was hard to put them in an order as well. I mean, when I was thinking of characters, I was trying to think of all the ones that were iconic. So your Marios, your Sonics, etc. So I didn't actually put them in it because they mean quite a lot anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're kind of default people's favourites, you know, because you grew up with them. There's a bit more nostalgia to them.
And there's still, even now, I've just thought of another one that I really love. Bloody hell, and it's not in it. So, number five, I'm going to give... You're going to see a bit of a pattern with my characters as well.
They're all from Yakuza?
No. One is. So, number five is Vaas from Far Cry 5. The bad guy.
Cool. Yeah.
Who's like...
You've got the pink suit.
No, that's Far Cry 4.
You say Far Cry... Yeah, it's Far Cry 3.
Did I say five? Oh, sorry, I meant 3.
Four.
We're just making a different ones, Far Cry 3, What's he say? He says something like...
I know the one with Mohican, doesn't he?
Yeah.
With the tattoos.
You know, definition of insanity. What? I love him. Yeah, and that's why I love him, because he's so crazy and so mad that it's like... I want to kill this guy at the end, I can't wait. And every time you see him, he just makes you more and more mad, like, the motherfucker, he's such a prick.
Yeah.
But that's why I loved it and why I wanted to keep going back and why I prefer it over 4, because the bad guy was better. Who's your number 5?
My number 5, you might be able to guess, I don't know, it's a bit of a different genre game, Raiden out of Mortal Kombat.
Nice.
Good.
From memory, I don't think he's missed a Mortal Kombat game from all.
He's been in every single one.
Or at least unlockable.
I think he's normally playable in most, if not already unlockable. Yeah, he's probably the most playable character I think I've used in all the series. And there's a lot of good characters I've always used over time. I know you're very au fait with Scorpion on most of the series. But
I like him.
Liu Kang and Sub-Zero are probably my next two after that. That I played most, but Raiden, I just used to love the teleporting and the torpedo dives as well. so I've always loved, always loved using him. So that's my number 5.
That's 5.
Number 5 goes back to a game that he was playing.
Oh, sweet!
Which is Kazuma Kiryu.
Yeah!
Honestly, someone, that character is such a badass.
He is.
He's a good guy. And he's got this soft side to him that he wants to help everyone.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, he's like this silent hero who's like strong and manly.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, if you do something bad to good people, he will mess you up.
He's a fucking real beast.
Bad. Yeah. Yeah. He'll rip his shirt off or his suit off.
Just turns into the Hulk.
That's it. And he will just beat the life out of you. He'll impale you on a fence. He'll beat you with a bicycle or break your neck with a stop sign or suplex you in the middle of the street over a barrier.
Be treated nice here, but it's some perfume.
You know, he talks mostly in a... But he talks with such aggression and grunt, you're like, you fucking tell him, man. You fucking tell him. He'll mess you up.
But yeah,
sounds like the merchant again.
Japanese merchant.
What do you say?
I mean, he speaks mostly in grunts and groans, but I mean, he's awesome. Honestly, yeah, he's really one of my favourite characters.
Yeah. Okay, Dylan.
My number five is Geralt of Rivia from The Witcher 3.
Right,
yeah. I didn't really get on with the game that much. I played about 20, 30 hours of it, but his character is amazing.
Very
deep. It is. The story in it is amazing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's my number five.
Okay, number four. Oh, again, is Lynch from Kane and Lynch.
Nice.
Again. He's absolutely batshit fucking crazy. I love him. Oh, I love how angry he gets.
Crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. I love how mad he gets when he's just so fucking pissed off and he just wants to inflict pain. And I love it when he gets into that state. It's great. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
My number four is Agent 47. Hitman.
Nice.
Very cool, calm, collected, top assassin. Obviously, I've been playing Hitman recently, so I've sort of got back in and fell in love with the game again, but I was massively into Blood Money and Absolution as well on the Xbox 360, so obviously got used to the character. He's obviously been through a lot as well in his past, and I think he's probably still trying to work himself out, but he was just sort of very cool and calm and right badass as well.
So always enjoy
using him in the game. He's my number four.
So I could have picked any name of characters out of this game, but I've gone for Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. It's Young Ocelot.
Hey, Young Ocelot.
So funny. just cocky. Also a bit of a klutz.
The blonde hair, didn't he?
He's the one who, with the beret, and he's got the revolver.
Oh, the gun.
But obviously you see him from Metal Gear on the PS1 where he's old, obviously, as well.
That's right, that's what I was thinking of.
He's obviously changed a lot, but then you get to see him at a young stage where he's cocky. You know, he's obviously still working at that point, spinning the guns around and putting them inside the holsters as well.
There's
just so many funny moments, and you know, even like the parts where there's a cutscene with him where I think he meows almost like a cat and then all these enemies turn up and he's just so random.
Just spinning them all over the place.
Flicking them around, catching them and stuff like that.
And then he ends
up with a fight where you're having a shootout with him across a bridge or something like that, and you're shooting, he's hiding behind cover and you can shoot the bee's nest. And it lands on him and frustrates him and he can take shots at him. But such a funny character. I mean, that game's just so cheese.
It's great.
But the storyline's incredible. It's such a fun game to play. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome character.
Young
Ocelot
is my number four.
Mm. Number four, keeping Metal Gear, Snake.
Snake.
He's just amazing.
Snake!
His gruff voice. He's just a badass, isn't he?
He's great. Just Kiefer Sutherland in the newer one, isn't
it?
Watch.
And he just sounds awesome. Yeah. You just can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's it.
He just always sounds good.
Sage, he's just amazing.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Three, going back to a game that I've recently finished the story on, Mad Dog Majima.
Oh, I love Mad Dog Majima.
He's just so good.
Crazy.
And the what I like the most about him is with 3 and 4, he was just complete. Nuts, isn't he? He's just mad. Every time you see him, you're like, who's this guy? And then you have to fight him. You're like, fucking, they're sort of friends, but they're beating each other up. It's a weird relationship. But in Yakuza Series, in him start off completely different, long ponytail, dresses smart, and owns the Cabaret Club. Then he goes throughout of this Yakuza game, he's losing it. Until the point his eyes all twitching and he's fucking lose, like his face kind of darkens a bit. You can sort of see the evil growing in him.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And I love seeing that transformation. So, that's the third psycho crazy person I've got on my list. I love all these ones.
My number three, going back to Metal Gear again, as Dylan's just mentioned, Solid Snake was mine. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Solid Snake in another episode because they're in the two games that I probably have enjoyed playing a part of my past, but Solid Snake, I just thought was the amount of pain, especially in Snake Eater, that he goes through. I remember a cutscene where he gets thrown off of a bridge and he has to break his arm back
by the boss.
Splint in his, he's in a real bad way.
I love her, she's a great cat as well.
But I don't know if any of you are too young to remember it, but I think his character is based on a guy called Snake Plissken who was in Escape to New York, or Escape from New York, which Kurt Russell played. He's exactly the same voice, he's got the eye patch and everything. He's an absolute spit. Very old film, I think it's about 1985, something like that.
Yeah.
He's got that
voice like that.
Yeah,
everything's
yeah.
a whisper and a
do
gruff.
Do remember this? Yeah, really?
Yeah. And I, yeah, so I like him. Yeah,
immediate way to sound like a badass is just yeah. sound just quiet. Gruff. Yeah, just sound yeah. quiet and gruff. Smoke about 60 Marlboros a day.
He's always got a cigar in his mouth, I think, as well. In that,
but. But. So number four,
number three.
Leon!
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
who doesn't love Leon?
Games!
Yeah. yeah, Resident Evil 4. Despite, obviously, I mean, you could pick and choose probably between 1 and 4. It's probably where your favourite Resident Evil is going to sit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, Resident Evil 4, considering where the genre from sort of 3 kind of took a bit of a dip
mm-hmm.
and then certainly the in-between games, the canon games, like there's one on the Wii I remember, which was like an on-rails game,
mm-hmm.
Which was an Resident Evil game, which I mean sucked.
Yeah, yeah. No, I heard something about that. Yeah,
wasn't great. And then Resident Evil 4, I didn't play it on the GameCube. I actually missed it on the GameCube. I didn't buy a GameCube, and I bought a Wii, and then they remade it
yeah.
with the Wii
dug
controls.
It right out, yeah, I think, number 4.
And I mean, I absolutely played yeah. that game. I loved it. And Leon's just such a cool character. He's got the leather jacket, he's got the curtain hair, throwing it back to the 90s. Yeah. He's just such a cool cat, and obviously he helps the president's daughter Ashley around. You get to look up, get a bit of upskirt.
Yeah, she's like, yeah.
She's totally not old enough.
Dylan's literally crossing off all the things that he was going
to
say.
The urchin's always carrying her, and they're trying to take her through that dimensional portal, and then you shoot them in the legs, and they drop her.
Back to the merchant again.
Or, she's tied. I remember there's a part where she's tied to like a metal, like almost like a wheel, almost like
yeah.
And you're meant to shoot out the,
I remember
the ankle braces, but I ended up shooting her in the head. Yeah, and she dies. And you're like,
Leon.
Or you shoot her in the, and you're just like,
in a whistle.
In a whistle blower. But yeah, Leon's definitely up there.
So yours is free as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Same reasons.
Mainly for Resident Evil 2 though, because he's like rookie cop gone badass. But yeah, yeah, Resident Evil 4 is amazing. It was both of them. Yeah,
I totally forgot about Resident Evil.
Well, Albert Wesker is a great.
Yes. See, when you mentioned Leon, I was like, Resident Evil Wesker. Oh, fucking loved Wesker. Yeah, yeah, I'm gutted that I didn't put him in my list now. But then I'm looking at the ones I've chosen, I'm like, who would I replace?
Mm.
So if it was the top 10, I'd probably have Wesker in there. It is, yeah. So that was 3, was it?
Yeah. So 2.
So next one, Trevor from GTA 5. I love him. He's so angry all the time, isn't he? He just wants to beat people up, stomp on their face, and you say the wrong thing. Even if you say the right thing, actually, he's still going to beat the shit out of you. And all he wants to do is do his drugs and just make money and be left the fuck alone. But, you know, he's helping out his mates as well. But you just see him waking up in his pants or something on the side of the road, and you just can't help but laugh. Like, I love this guy.
You're taking
and
the funny thing was, dumpster.
I was watching. It was when I was watching The Walking Dead as well, and I was looking down at my phone at the time. And the other ass watching it, and then all of a sudden, I hear Trevor on the screen. I was like, "What? This can't be happening." I look up, and then I see the guy who plays. Does the voice of Trevor in Grand Theft Auto in The Walking Dead. He's got the big moustache, the messy hair. I was like, fuck, it is actually Trevor. He's right here. Yeah, brilliant. And
they've done a YouTube video, I think, didn't they, of all the actors that played Trevor and Mike and can't remember the other chap's name.
Franklin?
Franklin, yeah. The three guys have done it. And it's weird because you don't always envisage what they get. You get this mental image of what they're going to look like, and you see him and you think, fuck me, I didn't realise he was going
to
look like that.
Yeah, Trevor actually looks similar to Trevor.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, actually, he's pretty much spot on. Yeah,
so he's,
what the fuck are you doing?
I watched a video on him earlier. I was just creasing up. I was like, oh, Trevor, I fucking love you, man. Awesome. Right, go on,
my number 2, which was your number 3 or 4, I think, Vass from Far Cry 3.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, you're introduced to him right at the very beginning and you just realise what a complete nutcase he is straight away. Yeah. Probably one of the best intros to a game I think I've played.
It's a good intro.
Proper shock factor if you've never played it before. Give it a go if you haven't. And if you haven't, get the gold edition of Far Cry 5. It's in there.
Oh, is it that one?
Sweet.
Yeah, man. As you said, Guy, you know, he's an absolute insane... silly boss in it, and he's funny as well, some of the stuff he comes up, but yeah, you just know you're just waiting for that point for him to snap and shoot someone in the face or something.
He's mental. Ash,
right, so this one's pretty predictable, being a Nintendo fan, but Link. And it's crazy because in the probably 20 odd years I've played Zelda games, Link don't speak. He don't say nothing. I think it's only in this recent game that he's actually even had the sound effects for his voice.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't speak in any of the
cartoon
games.
Though, didn't he? I think he spoke in that.
He did. Yeah. He sounded like a 15-year-old American teenager.
Which is pretty much what he is.
But yeah, I mean, Link's probably an iconic character. He's gone through so many changes. Obviously, Ocarina of Time's probably one of my favourite games of all times, which is where the first game where Link, you play as him as a child, but you also play as him as an adult. So you go into the Temple of Time, is where you put the, you pull the sword, almost like the Sword in the Stone. You pull it out of the what do you call it? The
anvil?
Vagina?
No. I can see it in my head. It's a triangle, but I can't remember what it's called.
Tristar? Is it?
No, I don't know what it's called. But it's like a Zelda. It just slips my mind right now. But sphere. Yeah, Link's probably one of my favourite characters. Obviously, he's the main protagonist. Although the game's called Zelda, and it's about a princess that you save. Yeah. Link's the main guy, so Link's probably my number two.
For years, nice. I thought he was Zelda.
Yeah,
a lot of people had
that confusion.
Yeah, I did. Like, and then when I had the game Link,
Was that a girl? No.
When I had Link on CDI, I was like, oh, this is Zelda. But this one's Link. I'm really confused what it is.
Link was with a green case.
Yeah.
Zelda was like a peachy colour.
Yeah, that's it. So I thought the Zelda was the girl in the end. But not at first. Right.
Yeah. My number two, Nathan Drake.
Uncharted,
brilliant character. That's all of
the female Lara. Male Lara Croft, really, isn't
he? He's proper cheeky, and he's a wicked character.
Another one that I was thinking about, Solid Snake, Lara Croft. I'm glad I didn't put them in, but at the same time,
Lara Croft in there, but then I had to get rid of her. But this, I don't think it's definitive.
No. Awesome. So number one, I couldn't pick one for number one. I had to go with two. So technically, this is top six, but these are joint. My two favourite characters. So far, I've had four absolute psychopaths. My other ones are Scorpion and Kratos from God of War.
Nice.
Both extremely angry. Both love hell.
I guess love violence.
He just loves killing people and sending to hell. Kratos and Scorpion, fucking is awesome. If I could be him when I die, I would.
And be him now if you want.
Just pretend you.
I love him.
Some
and been with me.
Some that I'm just looking at now, so that I'm surprised you didn't mention. Marcus Fenix.
Yeah, he was on my list. Yeah, how much you like and Bed. I liked him too.
Cloud
and Sephiroth, both of them. Again, I'm gutted I couldn't have more characters. I could just keep going with characters like for ages with this. It was so difficult. I had so many names down. Dante. Master Chief, he is iconic, but he wasn't on my list. Dante, he was another one from Devil May Cry.
Dante is my number one.
Gay! Well, I'm going to stop talking. Who's your number one, Darren?
My number one is another one you've already met, your guy. Trevor from Grand Theft Auto. He's insane and hilarious in equal measures, isn't he?
He is.
I mean, you're introduced to him stamping someone's face with his boot. And as you say, 1 minute you're shooting, smashing people to bits and blowing them up, and then you suddenly wake up, like you say, behind a dumpster having a crap, or you're on the beach getting off of the top of this big fat woman in a bikini walking off, and then amazingly you can run after her and beat her up,
which is exactly what he would do
when he's just in that room with that there's a guy, there's a cutscene in one of them, there's a guy who's just completely covered in shit,
yes,
head to toe, and Trevor just can't stand looking at him. He's like, put some clothes on, and then he gives him his trousers, I think, and then you see Trevor's cock hanging down. He was a complete mental case, and he has a side quest. One of his side op missions, he bumps into this old couple that are obsessed with finding famous Hollywood people's like belongings and memorabilia. And one of his missions, he has to help this old couple go and retrieve this famous person's underpants from a bin. And I'm thinking, why has he even agreed to do this?
He wouldn't have. He would have just probably smashed the shit out of him.
And they love this Hollywood actor so much that they end up getting Trevor to kidnap him, and you can put him in the boot of your car and stick it on a train track, and then he just gets smashed up.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just insane. But he's fantastic. You can't help but like the guy though as well.
Yeah, I love that character. Who's your number one?
He's my number one. There's so many I could have brought it between. Obviously I've mentioned Dante, Devil May Cry. Goes without saying, the guy can fight with a sword and two guns. You can literally
Use three hands.
It's got three ads.
I mean, the original Devil May Cry blew me away.
Yeah.
I'd never seen a game where you could just chain combos like that.
Yeah.
And the music and the build-up to the first fight with the... there's dummies on some strings that you go near, and then all of a sudden you're like near them, and all of a sudden they move, and then they try to attack you, and you're like, holy shit. Immediately it's on, and you just start fighting, and pretty much throughout the whole game, it's like watching The Raid, pretty much from there. It's just about kicking the shit out of everything in the most stylish way possible.
Yes,
it is. Very similar to, have you played Bayonetta?
Yep.
Yeah, another character.
Three,
yeah, good. Bayonetta, that's great weird. Character. Okay. Well, number two and number one got re-released. Got released on the Switch.
Yeah, it did.
So they've released those for
it's like guns in your shoes and stuff.
That's it. So yeah. Bayonetta 2 was so Switch cool. exclusive, and Bayonetta 3 comes out, I think, later on this year, which is Switch exclusive as well.
God damn it! I wouldn't mind playing another one. That.
My other probable choice is Shepard from Mass Effect. You ever been Mass Effect?
No.
Shepard's basically just a badass.
When you said Shepard, I first thought Call of Duty then.
Like, no. Shepard. But basically, yeah, Shepard's character, so it's basically a bunch of intergalactic sex, basically. So you can choose which characters you decide to work with. So I played Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U, and I decided I was just going to be a dick throughout the whole game, basically. So... when there's a particular character, I can't remember his name escapes me now, but his big alien character is really bulky, was talking about warring with us if we didn't sort of help him out and bow to his will, and I was just like, hey, fuck you, guy. And then I made him think that we was going to get along, and then I left him to die. And he was all trying to escape the planet as it's blowing up. I was just like, yeah, no, you stay here and die. I had strange sex with Alana,
I think that was,
maybe.
Alana?
Might be. I think I may be getting that wrong, but
still the game.
A blue alien like character. I thought, you know, I could have sex with these human women. I decided I was going to have sex with a blue woman.
Well, yeah.
Instead, you know, alien Avatar. Sex. But yeah,
like, Smurfs do it all the time.
Just a great character, so and sweet. I really enjoyed that game. So
awesome, man! Nice, Dylan.
Yeah, my number one, no surprise, Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn.
Not Joel from.
I was literally thinking in my head, Joel and Ellie from The Last of Us.
Yeah,
damn it, I completely forgot.
And
I forgot about my favourite game.
What was her name in Beyond Two Souls as well? Same actress.
It's not the same actress, but yeah, I know what you mean. The characters look very similar.
Yeah,
Last of Us isn't Ellen Page. That's another little girl.
But they do.
But she looks a lot like her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think it's Ellen Page.
They're
both Ellen Page, alright? And her. Yeah, that she was wicked.
Yeah, she was really, really good. But yeah. Aloy's.
She's already grown on me. Like, as a cool, she's really interested in everything.
Yeah.
She's very learning everything around her. And she's. I don't know. She seems a lot of frustration I can see with her at the moment.
The more you play the game, the more you love her as well.
Like. Yeah.
Could have had. Sean from Heavy Rain.
Yeah. Sean!
That's it. Some of the decisions you have to make, you really feel for him as a father, that he's really struggling to get his son back.
There's just too many characters out there that I just love. Like Ryu and Akuma. Yeah. Like, they didn't get mentioned.
I suppose it's because you don't... Well, apart from Ryu, you don't really know a great deal about Akuma. He's a bit of a... There's a bit of a... Well, you don't really know a great deal about his backstory.
That's all you need to know. But no, let's end it there then, as we're already going over the time limit, really. It's been going for a while.
It'd be nice to hear some of our listeners'
feedback. Yeah, we want
to...
Let's hear what yours are, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice to see. And if you've played any of the games that we've played, what do you think of those games?
Mm. Yeah, send us your thoughts to...
4padpodcast@gmail.com.
Whee!
Yeah, send it there. We'll all look at it.
That's it. We've also, so we're on Facebook as 4pad, that's p.a.d, but if you put 4play in or 4play all day, it should actually come up.
It comes up as well, because we've named it.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. YouTube, we're at 4play all day, the gaming podcast. Again, you just put 4play all day, you'll see our little logo. Snap and Instagram, you can reach me at the_gorilla, and on Twitter, I'm that guy Davis.
Yeah, you can get me on the Twitter at Gordy Two Shoes, capital G for Gordy, capital S for shoes, and there's a number 2 in the middle of it.
Great.
Nice.
Nice. Obviously, I'm on Twitter mostly, so it's Garfield. It's 1 and a 3 instead of a 9 and E.
So
I'm
cool.
Not going to explain it again. our Twitter account is 4playalday1, because 4playalday brings up a Twitter that's only been used like once or twice, but...
What, by yourself?
I've gone to see where it was, and it looks like it was going to be some soft porn, but it didn't really turn into anything. So
that, that's we had to go back and check it, that's why.
It flopped, is what I'm saying.
Well done.
But yeah, I mean, if you're on Twitter and you've got any gaming videos or even anything you want to put up there, just at us in it.
Yeah, keep the comments coming.
You can get me on Twitter as well, at DylanPlummer80. Obviously, you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, Player FM, Pocket Cast, and many more.
Yeah, that's on everything. Excellent. Is that everything, then?
I think so.
Cool. Until next time, thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.